finances, taxes, salaries, financial systems, or even working as an accountant, is a very important topic to talk about culturally. When I first arrived to the Netherlands, I had no idea about these topics, since the concept is very different from what I've known my whole life, whether it was in Syria or in Lebanon. And I have learned to deal with them after I made so many mistakes in the past. And I will for sure keep learning more and more about them here in the Netherlands. But wait a minute. Isn't this an interesting thing to talk about and tell people in the Western societies how it actually goes in countries like Syria? In order for all of us to learn new things about each other and get closer one step to each other through cultures. Well, to do that, we have with us today Tarek, an ambitious young Syrian man who found his way through finance in the Netherlands after a long journey of learning. Welcome, Tarek, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Can you introduce yourself, please, to our listeners?
Yes, of course. My name is Tarek Salibi. I'm originally from Syria. I studied banking and insurance, bachelor in Syria, and I worked for United Nations for almost 3 years. After that, I moved to the Netherlands 6 years ago, where I did a master in financial economics in Nijmegen University. And now I'm working for Deloitte as a senior consultant.
Wow, nice, Tarek. Can you maybe tell us a bit more about your studies in Syria?
Yes, I started in 2007, bachelor degree. I studied 2 years like without any specialization. In the third year, we had to choose for a specialization. So I chose banking and insurance. It was very attractive to me. Then I graduated in 2013. Yeah, I had some difficulties because of war to graduate earlier. After graduations, it was a bottleneck, let's say, in my life. So I had to choose or stay or leave. I chose to leave. It was a hard choice, but yeah.
So technically, you were studying and working with the United Nations at the same time?
Yes, I was studying and working at the same time.
Nice. Yeah. Can you tell us more about your work in Syria with the United Nations?
I found a position at the microfinance department at United Nations. It's called UNRWA. So it's a part of the United Nations, very special organization for Palestinian refugees in Syria. Now, it was, let me say, a dream for me to work for this organization, especially it was working as in microfinance department was like very related to my work, to my studies, sorry. So I worked as a loan officer where we were providing small loans with small amounts to very poor people. We were focusing on these people who are very poor, who can't guarantee loans from other banks. So we were providing them with loans without any guarantees to start up their projects, small projects, have extra income for them, let me say, yeah.
Nice. That's a very nice work. But how did you get to the Netherlands? Like after a couple of years, okay, we know that war started, so you had to flee. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about your journey to the Netherlands?
Before I came to the Netherlands, the war started. So the bank where I was working in stopped functioning because of war. Many branches were destroyed in Syria, so the bank was closed mostly. And yeah, I was without any job again. So I started looking for another position also within the United Nations. I found a position as an accountant. I started there as an accountant. Wasn't really attractive to me to work as an accountant. So I moved to the HR department also within the United Nations. I used my expertise in accounting and payroll. So I was responsible of releasing the payroll for almost 4,000 employees from A to Z. So starting by HR to releasing the payrolls in accounting department. Now, when I left Syria, it was impossible to stay there. So I moved to the Netherlands. I was very happy that I arrived. I started looking for a job here. Even before getting any status, I wasn't really aware of all of these regulations, when you can work, where you can't, when you can study or not, you should have a resident permit or not. So I was applying on LinkedIn, and then I realized that it's impossible because I don't have a resident permit yet. And then I realized that I should have a resident permit first before starting anything here in this country. So working wasn't impossible for me. Then I decided to search for studies. So I said, why not? I can continue studying here. I contacted the UAF. UAF is an organization which helps newcomers to the Netherlands, supporting them, giving them some money, let's say, or loans to start up their studies. Now, I got the first reaction was, okay, do you have a resident permit? Oh, no, I don't. I say, okay, you can't then apply for a study. So you have to wait. And I waited like almost 2 months. I got the resident permit and I called them again. Say, okay, now I'm officially, I have papers now in this country. So I would like to study. They said, okay, we'll start. But first you have to learn Dutch language. This is the first step. And you should be like on B2 level before you can apply for any studies. Okay, they guided me to which university I should go. I went to Nijmegen University to study language. I got almost 4 courses within 1 year. I got the B2 level. Actually, I called UIF again. Said, okay, I do have the B2 level, but still I didn't. But I was really in a hurry. I want to use my time very wisely. But because of my communications in Dutch with them, okay, you speak good Dutch now, so you can apply. Now, next challenge was applying for a master. I looked up for masters in the Netherlands. I found very good master here in Nijmegen, where I live. I live very near from Nijmegen, so I said maybe this is the best option. I don't have to travel a lot. It's good. There is no masters in Dutch. All they are in English. Now, again, I have to learn English. I went also again to Nijmegen University, applied for English courses. There were some pre-requirements. So I should have a TOEFL certificate or IELTS certificate before joining master degree. So I went directly to apply for a course to prepare for the exam. Now, I did a test and my level was A2. So A2 is not good enough to do the preparation for the TOEFL exam. I should be on B2 level. Now, the university made a plan. Okay, you should do like 2-3 courses before the preparation for the exam. So it will take like almost 1 year. Yeah, I don't have that much time. So I bought a book, TOEFL exam book, preparation book. And I asked help of someone. He is Dutch, but he speaks very good English. He's almost native in English. So I asked for help for him. He said, can you help me? He said, yeah, of course. And then we started together. I studied the book, prepared good for the exam. I went to the exam and I got good results from first trial. And I joined the university. Now, university also, they were not really convinced that I can do master directly. So I had to do pre-master first. It was a good idea, actually. So I did 1 year of pre-master. Then I did the master. I graduated with cum laude. It was good results. Even before graduating, I got a contract with Deloitte.
That's very impressive, Tara. Very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Going through all of this, I'm very sure that you have went through a process of finding out differences between applying to study here and applying to study in Syria. So here you had to go through learning Dutch language and then learning English and then applying process. That was all like a completely different process than what we do in Syria, for example. Can you maybe talk to us a bit about this?
So in Syria, it's very simple process. Your grades at the high school will determine which studies you are going to do. For instance, economics, your grades should be at least 80%. To study economics. For medicine, for instance, it should be at least 99%. So it's very limited options, let's say. You can't really choose what you want. Yeah, but I wanted economics. Now, luckily, I got more than 80% at the high school. So I studied what I wanted. Yeah, but here you can play around, let's say. So you can do a pre-master, for instance, in economics, even if you didn't study economics. So you could study mathematics, for instance, do a pre-master in economics, then do a master in economics.
Nice. Very good to know. Thank you, Tyra, for this information. Let's go back here. While you were studying your master's or preparing for the master's or going to work even, did you find it difficult to cope with the new education or work environment, work system?
Yes, it was very hard. Yeah, that's why I said at the beginning, doing pre-master was a good idea, because the whole system is different. So in Syria, I used to study only before the exam. So 2 weeks before the exam, stay in my cave for 2 weeks, and then I will pass all of the courses. Now here, it's an ongoing process. So you should study every day. You will be really busy with doing assignments, making groups. The way how the blocks are organized is, yeah, it's very, not complicated, but it's very heavy, let's say. So every 2 or 3 months, you will have 2 or 3 exams. There is no rest at all. So when you finish your exams next week, you will start with the new courses, preparing new assignments. It was very fun, but at the beginning, it was a little bit difficult. So I had to read a lot. My English wasn't that good. So I had to translate many, many words, learn the terms in English. The materials, they are a lot compared to Syria. So for instance, statistics. So I learned in one course in statistics what I have learned in Syria in four years. You know, I don't like to compare actually between education system here and in Syria because it's very different. So if I am going into details, yeah, it will take days explaining each difference. So let's keep it this way.
Yeah, of course. And that's why actually we have a whole episode talking about the education system and comparing it with the Dutch system and the Arabic system of teaching or studying. But this is very interesting because did that, going through all of this difficult process, let's say, and of course succeeded, do you think that helped you in finding the job you are in today?
Yeah, of course. So I have a Dutch certificate. So I think it's very easier for employer to recognize my skills or to say, okay, we can compare what this guy know compared what we used to know. If I have a certificate from Syria, now the employer in the Netherlands or in Europe in general, they don't have any idea what kind of certificate is that. It's nice, a bachelor degree. So what did this guy study? What is the rating of this university? So it's not comparable. And I think this is a very important step I made to find a job. So first, have a certificate from the Netherlands. Yeah, I could find a job much more easier if I didn't.
So how did you eventually came to this job? Like how did you earn this job plus the education that you have made or the master's degrees that you have earned, the certificate, your experience as well, I think, in that you gained in Syria can be a very big part in it. Just tell us more about your job today.
I didn't know. Yeah, I knew that there are big four, Deloitte, KPMG, PwC and EY. But I wasn't really interested in applying in one of these big four. But two guys from Deloitte, they gave a guest lecture at university. It was a great lecture. And they explained how they work, what they do, how they do make the link between what we have studied or what they have studied and their work. So it was really attractive to me. And directly, I contacted them. I asked for them for connections on LinkedIn. I talked to them after the lecture, and I showed my interests in Deloitte. Then I was guided through the application. So I had to apply via website. And it's a very, very long process, by the way. I had to do IQ test, then first interview, second interview, and third interview. And I managed to have the job finally. So during the interviews, I realized the importance of my certificate or my studies at the Netherlands, because in the interviews, they asked me a lot in economics. So content-wise, it was very heavy at the interview. So if I didn't study here in the Netherlands, I wouldn't pass the second interview or the first interview even. So my studies here really helped me to earn this job finally.
Then let's talk a bit about your job now, because you have your own work experience in the Middle East, and plus now you're building a work experience in the Netherlands. With all of our previous interviews and our upcoming interviews, we're always talking about the similarities and the differences in the work atmosphere or in the education atmosphere. So let's focus now with you on the work atmosphere. Have you seen or have you spotted similarities regarding working in finance or payroll between here and the Middle East?
I don't know if I can really answer this question fully because my experience was only with United Nations. So I didn't work with many companies at Syria. So in United Nations, they apply European laws more or less. So similarities, there is a lot between what I have done in Syria and here, how the system works, how the hierarchy, how people should deal with each other. How people there apply these laws is very different. There are more differences than similarities.
Okay, so what are the differences regarding working in finance here with the United Nations or with a company here, and differences between European system and the Arabic system, let's say?
There are many differences in finance. So apart from United Nations, so in Syria in general, the economic system or finance system is very different. It's not to compare within Netherlands. For instance, we don't have financial markets in Syria. So anything about derivatives, swaps, stocks, bonds, we don't have in Syria. So I can't really, yeah, this is a very big difference. So whatever you study in books in Syria, you're not going to apply a job. But here in the Netherlands, you study and what you have studied in the books, more or less you will see in the market, or you will apply the methods you have learned on job. Now, this is a very big difference. There is another part of differences is the culture differences. The Middle East culture is very different than European culture. As an example of this, and this is my experience. Maybe somebody else have experienced something else, but this is my experience. So here, I don't see a very big difference between a manager and a consultant, for instance, on a floor. So they are equal. Now, in Syria, it's not like this. In Syria, the manager is a manager like a boss. You should listen to your boss. You can't really criticize your boss, or you can't really talk whenever you want or whatever you want. Here, you should do. You should be critical, should defend your thoughts. Not arguing, but you should speak up, let's say. So speaking up is very important here in the Netherlands, but in Syria, it's not at all.
Sharing your ideas.
Exactly, sharing your ideas, defending your opinion. Yeah, these new stuff I had to learn here in the Netherlands. I didn't know how to apply this before, because when first time I heard, okay, this is a manager. So I said, okay, this is my manager, so I should listen to him. Can't criticize him, maybe. How should I deal with these situations? Should I keep silent or not? Should I talk? It was very hard.
How did you get the answer to that, actually?
Now, how I learned it is the hard way. So I got a lot of feedback at the beginning from my team leads on projects and my coach. So everybody in Deloitte will get a coach to guide him, teach him how to improve his or her skills, develop the knowledge, business knowledge. And now by this feedback I got from many people, team leads, coach, whatever, I realized that, okay, one of my weaknesses point is I don't speak up. So I learned how to speak up. I learned the culture. So now I am in a better position than before.
That's very nice. And that's actually the purpose of the whole podcast that we are making here, to show people that if you actually tell the person about something, they would improve it and they would be better in it. I do believe that you already know your ideas and your creativity and you want to do something in the job, but depending on the culture that we come from, it's to us like, okay, you cannot talk like this to a manager, or you cannot share your ideas or share your creativity or criticism as well. But here you didn't know that you can actually until somebody has told you.
Indeed.
Which leads us to the whole point of the podcast. Like, do you maybe have an advice for, let's say, Dutch or European people who are listening to us right now, and they work in big companies or in big organizations, and they do have employees from a Middle Eastern background? Do you have an advice regarding?
My advice is, it's communication. Communication is a key here. Give feedback, more feedback, and have a talk with this person. Why he doesn't speak up, why he doesn't have own opinion. Be aware of differences in culture. Here I don't mean that Dutch people should adapt to another culture, no, but just be aware that there is differences. So if you know these differences, maybe you will be able to recognize where the problem is. So the problem is not in the person itself, but it's because of his culture, of his way of thinking. So communicate with them, explain that they can do this or that, or you can work on these difficulties maybe in the future.
Very nice. Yeah. Regarding the culture differences. So as we said, in the Middle East, we are not always used to get feedback about the job because, you know, you have a work system and you apply that and then you go home and that's it. But here you get meetings, you get to talk about the job, you get to talk about your ideas, about your creativity in a team, and you get to plan and work on it. So the idea of giving and receiving feedback is completely new for the Arabic culture. So do you have maybe a specific advice for people who are trying to be part of an organization or a company working or studying?
Yeah, I think the advice number one is be patient. Don't be in a rush. So it will take some time for you to adapt. Yeah, these things come by time, I think. Advice two, I think feedback, don't take it personally. So if there are some negative feedback, yeah, try to work on these negative feedback because this is the most important thing in the feedback is the negative points. The positive points, they are important to make you happy, yeah, but you will not get improved by these positive impact, positive points, let's say. So the negative feedback is very important. Try working on these. And if you don't get why you got this negative impact, you should ask. So it's ongoing process of feedback. So you will not just receive it and be very sad about it. No, discuss it with your team lead, your manager, whatever. And try to understand exactly why you got this feedback, how you can improve it. And I think that's it.
Beautiful, Tarek. What are your future plans and how you are planning to reach them?
My future plan is to have my own business. Now, this is in a very long period of time. So it's not like a short-term plan, let's say. Now, my short-term plan is be professional in what I am doing. So I do credit risk now in Deloitte, in financial risk management department, with a great focus on data science. So now I'm very busy learning programming languages, data science. This costs a lot of time, of course, and to be a professional. So
thank you, Tarek, for this amazing amount of information about the culture differences and you're sharing your personal experience with us regarding finance working and also studying finance. We wish you all the best. And if anybody would like to know more about Tarek or be in contact with him to know more about him, you can check the links in the description. And thank you, Tarek, for being with us one more time. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.